Hi guys, and welcome back to this week's YA podcast. I'm your host Sabrina, and as per usual, you can keep up with everything to do with the podcast using the hashtag YA pod or YA podcast, and you can also email in to get involved using the email address collabyapod@gmail.com. So this week we are in our final week of John Green season. Not to say that I'm a little bit excited, but I'm excited. So I feel like the way this sort of podcast has gone, this first month has been a real big trial and error situation in terms of seeing if the seasons and that aspect is going to actually work out. And from what I can sort of gather so far, it's not really working out very well. I feel as though it would be better if I sort of distance myself from the seasons a little bit, and maybe just did a book a week as in when it is felt, and if a book is particularly popular, maybe then we decide to go in through a season with that author. I think doing it this way also gives you guys the chance to cover the books you want as in when you want, rather having to wait months and months for, say, Twilight season or say for Hunger Games season. We just cover books as and when. I think that's going to be a lot better going forward, hopefully. And once again, I just want to play around on this podcast. It's something that I'm not taking too seriously, as you can probably tell, but I want it to be something that is just a lot of fun and a chance for us to rag on books that we loved as kids, like I said, like all the time. So this week we are going into An Abundance of Catherines. Now, An Abundance of Catherines is a book by John Green. It was written before Paper Town, so in fact, if we were looking at this whole entire system chronologically, we've gone in the completely wrong order, but that's okay. So as per usual, the way I want to start off each podcast, having a look at the characters in the book. So the protagonist in this book is Colin Singleton. He is a child prodigy, quite a serious person, and he has a thing for anagrams. He also has a thing for girls named Catherine with a K. We find out in the book quite early on that he stays hidden 19 girls named Catherine, and as of late, the 19th one is the most recent one to break his heart. So our next character we have is Hassan Harbish. Hassan is Colin's best friend and the person who tells Colin the truth. His parents are very mindful of him being a child prodigy and being quite smart. So sometimes they really want to mollycoddle him, but Hassan doesn't do that. And I quite like him for that as a character. He's quite a strange character. He comes up with a lot of strange phrases, but I feel like this is pretty typical for a John Green book. There is always a secondary character, a secondary protagonist who is quite strange and has a tendency to come out with strange things. Take, for example, in Paper Towns, there was Ben and his choice of calling girls honey bunnies, which I still don't like. That's Hassan. Hassan is also religious, and it's quite interesting the fact that John Green lets him point out constantly that he is religious, that he is Muslim. And also Hassan does have a love interest, which I quite like, and the love interest is furthered in the book slightly, which is also quite nice to see, especially in comparison to Paper Towns, where we see love interest from secondary characters but they're not really fully developed and discussed, which is quite weird seeing that it's going backwards chronologically. The next character we have is Lindsay Lee Wells. She is a girl that the boys meet whilst they are on their road trip. This will be explained later on. He describes her as having a really great smile when he first meets her. She also has a boyfriend, funnily enough, named Colin, who they call the other Colin throughout the book. And she is quite interesting. She doesn't have a lot of things going for her. apart from the fact that I guess she dates Colin at one point, but she is quite smart and she keeps up with the boys in terms of the things that they like to do. They also find out that she is a bit fake around certain people. She doesn't really stick to one particular character when she's around other people. Instead, she creates a persona around certain people, and she quite likes Colin because he doesn't do that. He just is who he is. Then we have Hollis Wells, who is Lindsay's mother. She owns a textiles company in the town that they live in. And she also is really hard working. We find out that she likes to save the company that she's running and keep people in jobs without trying to get rid of them, which is really nice. That didn't make any sense, but I know what I meant, you know? Then we have the other Colin, who is essentially, or is Lindsay's boyfriend throughout most of the book. And in the end, we find out that he actually cheats on Lindsay with another girl called Karina. And yeah, that's about it. And then we have Katrina, who is going out with Hassan at one point, and then we find out that she is cheating with the other Colin. So there's that. Not too much on the characters, really. There's not too much to say about them. They just are who they are. And I feel like the biggest characters throughout all of the book itself are probably the other Catherines. No, the Catherines that came before the 19th one. Because Colin doesn't really talk too much about them. He talks about them in increments and refers to them all by number. So, like Catherine 1, Catherine 2, etc., etc., all the way to Catherine 19. And it's very strange because Colin always seems to himself as being the dumped, like he was always dumped by these Catherines. And he doesn't really see anything with them apart from maybe the infatuation with the name Catherine, which may come from the fact that he is a child prodigy and not so socially aware. I'm not sure. I'm just going off on a limb here. So yeah, let's get into a bit of the plot, I guess. I don't know what else to do. So the plot is pretty basic, pretty simple. Colin has broken up, sorry, Catherine 19 has just dumped Colin, and as a result, Hassan decides that they need to go on a road trip. So they go on a short road trip, and there they meet Lindsay and her mother, and Lindsay's boyfriend, and Katrina, and two of other Lindsay's friends, and they just spend the summer with them. And along the way, Colin tries to determine if he can figure out a mathematical equation as to how relationships work and how they are figured out, which obviously he can't do. It's not a thing that's possible to do, but he tries to do it anyway. Because also another thing, Colin is really preoccupied with not letting his prodigy-ness die out. He wants to be remembered. He doesn't want to just be a prodigy that was great when they were younger and then suddenly they get older and they're not so great. So there's that. There's not really much to this book. That's essentially it. In the end, Colin ends up dating Lindsay, which obviously breaks the cycle of Catherine's. After they find out that the other Collins, who are Lindsay's boyfriend, and Katrina are secretly going out. So they start dating, and then in the end, Colin perfects his theory and he wants to find out if they're going to break up, which his theory says 4 days. And then 4 days comes and Lindsay and him, well, Lindsay breaks up with him. That's essentially the premise of the book. Like, I really don't know what else to say. I feel that this book is really big in symbolism and imagery. and this kind of literary devices. It's less the plot and more the things that make the story deeper, you know? So there is a lot of imagery and symbolism, I feel like, talking about, especially with the 19 Catherines, and Colin's preoccupation with a name, in essence, not rather a person, but a name. So I'm literally going to go into that, and it's going to be a really short podcast, but I don't know if there's anything else I can really look at, essentially. So Abundance of Catherines has quite a few themes, obviously the biggest theme being love. So Colin is desperately clinging to love wherever he can through these Catherines. There's even one point where one of the Catherines says to him, "You know, you're so obsessed with love, can't we just be?" And it's because he falls in love so quickly with these girls, he spends no time at all and he's in love with them. And it's funny because he's not in love with them as the person, he's in love with them as a name. And it even talks about with the first Catherine how when she first asked him to be her to be when she first asked him to be her boyfriend, he didn't even feel any way about like their first kiss. He called it dry, I think, and it was more to do with her and her name that sort of type that brought him in and dragged him into her. We also come obviously a lot with coming of age. Coming of age is a big genre, obviously, for John Green. He likes to look at his characters and their development and how a journey can bring them to a place of enlightenment, bring them to something new, something fresh. Well, with Paper Towns, it was Margot running away, and Q going to find her. With Paper Towns, it's Colin and Hassan actually running away, and them actually ending up finding themselves out in this middle of nowhere place where nobody really knows them. So it's really interesting. And also we look at a lot about memory. So there's a lot to do with Colin reflecting on his past relationships, especially with Catherine 19. He can't seem to get her out of his head and the things that they had together. But also it's good because he starts to look at the relationships a lot deeper, and that's when he finds out, in fact, that Catherine 3 is actually someone that he broke up with and not the other way around, which almost breaks this cycle of him being the one who is always dumped by 19 girls. Because in the beginning of the book, it's made really apparent that Colin is this guy who's been dumped by 19 girls, which sounds really excessive. But actually, for me, it was kind of stupid, I'm not gonna lie, because he's claiming that he's been dumped by 19 girls, but can you really call relation, can you really say a relationship is a relationship if you're young, you know, if you're unaware of what a relationship really entails, if you're unaware of what a relationship really takes to make it work? Because he's claimed 19 Catherines, but some of them were when he was as young as 7 or 8. So for me, I'm just thinking, does that really count as a relationship, especially if all his were seemingly so superficial? Can he really count all of these 19? I don't know, maybe that's just something to think about. We also obviously have a big topic about knowing things. So Colin is really knowledgeable, and it's, I guess, annoying for him in a way that he can't figure out why he keeps on hitting these roadblocks with these girls, why he can't make it past the finishing line, why he can't stay with these girls forever, why he has to keep holding on to something that they obviously don't want themselves. And it's super interesting in that sense to just see, you know, how he reacts to finding out that he's actually been a dumpee before and not the dumped. Overall, I feel like there are some really good points this book made. Looking at it now that I'm older from when I was younger, I feel as though It was a bit of a slow read for me, I can't lie, I've got to be honest, it was a slow read. It took me a while to get into it, and even when I did get into it, I did find the character of Colin very annoying, just because he did seem so love-struck, and he did seem to weigh all of his options in these girls, which obviously John Green does address within his book, within his series. He does seek to explain that, you know, by the end of it, Colin is free from this hold that he has with this girl called Catherine, and actually him, Lindsay and Hassan go off into the distance onto a new adventure. So that is quite wrapped up nicely, and it is, you know, the author is aware, and Colin himself is self-aware in his flawed characterization, which I quite like, you know, that he knows he's a flawed character and he seeks to fix that and develop on it. But I will say that John Green's books as a whole do not hold as much weight for me as they did when I was a child, most definitely. I'm definitely excited to start on the next books that we're working on. We'll be filming next week for Twilight, so that's Stephanie Meyer, however you say her surname. Those books were literally my childhood. They were amazing, and I really cannot wait to unpack them in a whole new light, because I'll admit, whilst I have seen the movies a few times since the whole Twilight epidemic was about, I have rewatched the movies. They do come on TV sometimes, so I have seen them recently. But as for the books, I have not touched the books maybe in about 4 or maybe 4 or 5 years. So this is going to be really interesting, just to go back and to read the books and to see exactly what I was so excited about when I was younger and what I waited so desperately to read, especially with the final book anyway. To be honest, that is essentially it for this week. I haven't got a lot to say. It's not been a long podcast. It was more a summarization and a wrapping up of this old season, and as we go into the new one, I pray that you guys will have a really good week. I will probably upload this tomorrow morning, as now it's super late and just not a key time to upload. So tomorrow morning you'll get this podcast, and I cannot wait for us to start on Twilight, because that is going to be an adventure in itself. And as normal, if you want to get involved with the podcast, or you want to just make a comment or a suggestion for me and how I can improve the podcast, please do not hesitate to get involved. You can tag us using the hashtag YAPod or YAPodcast on Twitter, on social media, or you can alternatively message us at collabyapod@gmail.com. That's collabyapod@gmail.com. I've been your host, Sabrina, and this is the YA Podcast.